Hallelujah. Brother Russell, come. God bless you. Pastor Rector, Arkansas, been doing good at 113. Huh? Easter Sunday? 140. Hey, well, the way we count, that's 280. We count eyeballs. Amen. No, that's great. That's good. They're doing a good work up there, and we appreciate them. Of course, our children, their home, that makes us feel good. But more than that, we're glad for the good reports that's fallen in the church there. Praise the Lord. God bless you.
Amen. Are you counting the offering tonight?
We have not. Looks like a $13.
I was going to say, I hope you count offerings better than you do attendance. Saying I had 113. Oh.
That's my retirement. She's a boy, I did all right tonight.
Well, that's the truth, man. Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Now, Joy will get it. If he doesn't give it to her, Pigs will slip around for us all over with and give it to her, probably. Amen. She takes care of the kids.
Amen.
Praise God. Well, it's good to see this good crowd here tonight. You haven't in a long time. Well, my goodness, make up for lost time. Good to see this crowd here tonight on this Wednesday night service. I'm glad to hear the good reports that's coming from this assembly. I'm just glad to know that revival is everywhere. Praise God. And we get the bulletin that you send out from this church. And I've been keeping up with Love Boat or As the World Turns or The Life of Marvin Rutledge or whatever that little article is that's been running in there for a long time. I'll be glad when y'all get something good to write about. Anyway. But we've been getting the good report of revival in this place, and I tell you, they're what? It's in the air. That's right. I got four people talking to me at once up here. I feel like a telephone operator. That reminds me. I worked when I first went to Bible college, and I worked at Hilton Hotels as a desk clerk. And we had the old switchboard. That's before they went to computer. And we had the old switchboard. And we had some dignitaries that stayed there in the motel. And, of course, I grew up in Arkansas. And I went to St. Louis. They talked different up there than we do here. And then I'd answer the phone, you know, hello, this is Hilton Hotels. And people say, where? Who? You know? And then while they were talking, I'd get a bunch of lights to light up there, and I'd get so nervous, and I'd disconnect people. And one time the governor was there, and I disconnected the governor to whoever he was talking about, and the person called back. Man, I didn't know I had so many names. And so I got too many lights on the switchboard here. I'm glad for revival that's just everywhere, and especially in this place tonight. And I feel the presence of God in this place. Aren't you glad for the blessings of the Lord? Praise God. My apologies. I want you to accept them for being late. We were ordained today, and it was quite a lengthy service. I guess when you're as ornery as I am, it takes a while to get ordained. And so we didn't get away till late. I know I'm going to preach good tonight, because I got some more license and that on it. I told my home church, I said, now, I'm going to be ordained, and that means I'm going to get in a different category and get some different license. I said, but don't get your hopes up. It's not going to help my preaching anymore. I said, you're just stuck with me, I guess. But I'm just glad that I know a God who is still calling. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And I want to encourage you tonight. You may not answer the call of the ministry. You may never stand in the place to receive license or be ordained, which that doesn't qualify you for the ministry, really. It's the calling of God. But if you never qualify for that, at least you can answer the call of God in your own personal life and have a personal experience with God. And if you feel God calling you tonight in this service, don't be reluctant. But just step forward and say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a great big hand for you. Hey. We're going to ask Joy to testify and then sing tonight.
It's just so good to be here. I can feel the presence of the Lord as usual. Looks like y'all have grown quite a lot since we've been here. A lot of new faces that I don't know, but I still remember some of the old ones. But it is good to be home, and the Lord is blessing. He's keeping His hand on us. He's blessing our church. You know, there's revival breaking out everywhere. And it don't matter where you're at or where you're coming from or where you're going, you can always feel the presence of the Lord. You worship with me as I sing Heaven City Limits. As you walk along life's highway with His signs every day, there are signs that point the way while others cause us to stray. But the sign that I have been looking for will melt my fears away. And when I see that sign, this is what that sign will say. Heaven, city limits, almost home now. What you done for Jesus was worth your time. No tears, no sorrow, no more troubles on your mind. Soon as you cross that city limit sign. Friend, if you're not happy traveling down this road you're on, come and walk with me a while. Road leads to home. Now it could be tomorrow or around the next bend. Our traveling days are over, cause we have received heaven, city limits, almost home now. Work it out for Jesus was worth your time. No tears, no sorrow, no more troubles on your mind. Soon as you cross that city limit sign. Oh, heaven, city limit, almost home now. Working down for Jesus was worth your time. No tears, no sorrow, no more troubles.
City limit signs. Heaven is just around the bend. Worship as we sing tonight. Jesus satisfies. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
When I am in need of a friend to stick close by my side. When there's no place to go to escape from the problems of life. You offer safety and love no one else can supply.
Ooh, Jesus, you satisfy.
You satisfy my every longing inside.
You wipe the tears away from my eyes when I cry.
You give me hope, joy, and peace for my life.
Ooh, Jesus, you satisfy.
You satisfy my every longing inside.
You wipe the tears away from my eyes when I cry.
You give me hope, joy, and peace for my life.
Ooh, Jesus, you satisfy.
Listen to this.
Although there are times when nothing just seems to go right, you've always been there to help me get through the night. Oh, whenever I need you, you are out there to supply.
Ooh, Jesus, you satisfy.
I like this verse.
Although there are times,
oh, yes,
when nothing just seems to go right.
You ever have a day when nothing went right?
When there's no place to go.
No place to go.
To escape from the problems of life. You've always been there to help me get through the night.
Jesus, you
satisfy.
Oh, you satisfy
my every longing inside.
You wipe the tears away from my eyes when I cry.
And it's the Holy Ghost and fire. Keeping me alive.
Keeping me alive. Keeping me alive. It's that Holy Ghost and fire.
It's keeping me alive.
Jesus
is keeping me alive. Oh, it's that Holy Ghost and fire.
And it's keeping me alive.
Keeping me alive. Keep on me alive.
with that Holy Ghost and fire.
He burns me alive.
Jesus is keeping me alive. Oh, it's down in my heart.
And it's keeping me alive.
I said it's keeping
me alive.
Hallelujah, it's keeping
me alive.
Oh, it's down in my heart. Boy, it is keeping me alive.
Jesus is keeping me alive.
Once again, it's that Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost
is keeping me alive.
I said it's
keeping me alive.
Hallelujah, it's keeping
me alive.
Oh, it's Holy Ghost and fire.
Keeping me alive.
Oh, Jesus
is keeping me alive.
It feels like fire. Oh, it feels like fire. Shut up in my bones. It feels like fire. Shut up in my bones. Oh, it feels like fire. Shut up in my bones. That fire is shut up in my bones. It's the Holy Ghost and fire. That's shut up in my bones.
Yes. In my bones. It's shut up in my bones.
It's the Holy Ghost and fire.
Shut up in my bones.
Oh, yes. For Jesus.
Shut up
in my bones. Let's all praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. You may be seated. Such beautiful worship tonight. Let's look into the Word of the Lord and see what the Lord has for us tonight. Praise God. I noticed in my watch it's about 10 minutes slower than that one up there. And I knew you'd be watching that one, but I'm going to watch this one. And praise God. I've been looking forward to this. Haven't had an opportunity to just be with you folks. We are excited about what's going on in Rector. God has blessed us with revival. We've enjoyed an increase and seen about five families come into the church since we've been there, and about three of them were brand new ones. We had some move-ins, but we're thankful for the move-ins, but we're especially glad for those that never knew the truth that's come. And 2 years we've been there in May, and we went there, we was running in the 70s, and now we're running in the hundreds, right at 100 fairly consistently, and we're thankful for 126 last Sunday. And it's not all in numbers, but sure does look good when it's on the board. But it's those people that's coming to hear the Word of God. That's what thrills me. And then to see them come to the altar and repent and be buried in the name of Jesus and receive this wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. I wouldn't trade this gift for anything. Praise God. I'm going to be reading tonight in 2 Chronicles, the Word of the Lord in chapter 6. And I would like to begin with 36th verse, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. And the Scripture tells us here that if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them over before their enemies, and they carry them away captives into a land far off or near, yet if they bethink themselves in the land whither they are carried captive and turn and pray unto thee in the land of their captivity, in the land of their captivity, saying, we have sinned, we have done amiss, and have dealt wickedly, if they return to thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their captivity where they have carried them captives, and they pray toward their land which thou givest their fathers, and toward the city which thou hast chosen, and toward the house which I have built for my name. Then verse 39 says, hear thou from the heavens. The Lord answered Solomon's prayer. For this was Solomon's prayer, King Solomon, at the dedication of the temple. And the Lord answered his prayer in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Solomon praying at the dedication of the temple. Don't you appreciate the word of God tonight? I want to preach concerning Psalms 46:1, how that the scripture tells us that God is our refuge and strength and a present help in trouble. A present help. That is a very near help. And I'd just like to preach tonight on this subject, help just in time. For the scripture said that he was a present help, immediate help in the time of trouble. The scripture tells us in Job 14, verse 1, that man that is born of woman is few of days and full of trouble. And in verse 22 of the same chapter it says, and his flesh shall have pain, and his soul within him shall mourn. His flesh shall have sickness, and his soul shall have sadness. There will be calamity and tragedy and grief. These are the hindrances of the flesh. And I know that we have built the Holy Ghost up in our preaching, and it is a great gift to be desired, and the kingdom of God truly is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what the kingdom of God is. It's not the earthly things of meat or drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy. It's the presence. It's a spirit. Hallelujah. God is a spirit. They that worship him in that presence. Hallelujah. Everybody say amen. Amen. And, whether you have the Holy Ghost or not, you're going to have trouble. By the Word of God, you're going to have trouble. Just the old carnality, the old flesh. You're going to have bad days and rough days and sickness, and there's going to be sorrow. I don't know the details, but coming here tonight, we were slowed in traffic. And when we arrived, we noticed a police car with his lights flashing. And there on the highway was a body. They had already thrown the sheet over him. And just one lone police car there and just the body laying still on the highway. There's calamity in someone's life tonight. They're just now receiving the news of one of their loved ones or friends who have gone on in some tragedy, and their soul is going to mourn, because that is just part of the nature of the flesh. That's just right. Trouble.
You're right.
Amen?
Amen?
That's good. A lot of people get to this place of just everyday cares dragging them down, discouraging them. Discouragement is a disease. Whether you are in church or whether you're not, there's people that's discouraged with their jobs, with their lifestyle, where they live, with the people around them. There's a lot of discouragement in the world, and all that it is just this war against the flesh, just the trouble. And if Satan can, he can make you feel that you're hopeless and you're in a place of despair and that there's no chance of recovery. In fact, Galatians says in chapter 1, verse 7, that there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And there's a lot of people today that are distressed, not just in the world, but also in the church. But my friend, I want us tonight to realize that David said, in the time of trouble, he shall hide me. And I don't know maybe tonight why you're here
other than it's church time or what your spiritual condition is, I've walked into this service late. I have not taken an evaluation of anybody, but I want you to be hid tonight in the presence of God.
Yes.
Let your soul be refreshed. The scripture says that there is a time of refreshing. And I hope tonight that this service has already ministered to you to the place that you can walk out of here with your head up, with your hands up, praising the Lord. The scripture says, lift it up holy hands. There may be trouble in your life, but there's also hope in your life tonight. The scripture wrote to Timothy, Paul said, said, Jesus Christ is our hope. I think we ought to call out on his name tonight and find the strength of the Lord. Can you say in Jesus' name? Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a great big hand. Praise. Amen. Most of you, of course, that's been here a while, you know that where we pastor is a small town. Town of 2,500, so just almost everybody knows everybody and all their problems and all their good points and all their bad points and if they're coming or if they're going and there's just, you know, just small town life. And the other day we had a very exciting day. Not long ago, we have two banks. In our town, we had the Bank of Rector, and we have First Federal Savings. And what the Bank of Rector don't rip off from you, maybe you can save in the First Bank Savings Bank there. But at closing time the other day, the little savings account bank, a man came in and pulled a gun on the teller and said, "This is a holdup, and we want all your money." And he fled on foot and in our town, and they lost them. And it caused a lot of excitement. I mean, the policeman in our town got to blow his whistle and turn on his lights and the whole works. Well, the only other time he gets to blow his whistle, Brother Wayne, is on Labor Day picnic day. He gets to lead the parade, blow his whistle, but this day he got a real excuse to use the siren and the lights, and the state troopers came from as far away as Kennett, which is 15 miles away, and it was a lot of excitement there for a while, and people had something to talk about that. You know, raised them from the dead, seemed like. Oh, man, we ought to. It's hard to be sad when you're in a small town like ours and the bank gets robbed. It's hard to be sorry that the bank got robbed because that's exciting. Can you believe someone chose our town to rob our bank? We're going to make news. I mean, they even come up there with television cameras. We were really spotlighted. And the gentleman that robbed the bank, a young man, single years old, in his early 20s, he went and hid the money in a abandoned house, and after that he drove over to some people that attend our church. In fact, they one of the young lady, in fact, is the youth secretary in our church. This particular fellow that robbed the bank is dating the sister of this young lady that comes to our church. He's dating her sister. And so he'd come by her house, I suppose looking for her sister. She wasn't there. He robbed the bank at 3:05, and he was at these people that go to my church. He was at their house at 3:15 and knocked on the door and asked this girl in our church, would she like to go down to the Pizza Palace and have a soda pop and maybe a pizza? And she said, no, I don't think I want to do that with you date my sister. She's quite a tangle, you know. But you can come in and visit. And they invited the bank robber into their home. I didn't believe this until these folks in my church told me it was true. I thought they was pulling my leg. He come in and he sat down and he was visiting with them and just acted like everything was all right. And Sharon was talking to him and they got him something to drink, a soda pop. And while they were visiting, one of the neighbors ran over and come in the house and said, "Oh, Pearls, lock the doors and the windows. There's been a bank robbery here in Rector. And the bank robber's on the loose, and they can't find him. And Les locked these doors in the window. The bank robber got up, helped them lock the doors in the window. And he said, "My, we should protect ourselves." That's right. So they got all the doors and the windows locked to keep the robber out, and they locked him in. And they told him, "We're so glad you're here to protect us, you know." And then his grandmother called and wanted him to come up and stay with her. She said, "Because I understand that the bank's been robbed," and she said, "I want you to come stay with me tonight, and where I won't be afraid." He said, "Sure, Grandma, I'll be right over." And so he went over and protected her from the bank robbery. And it was very exciting there for a while. And it went on 2 or 3 days, and they tried to find that fellow on three-wheelers and on four-wheel drive vehicles. They searched the countryside. And he was walking up and down the streets. In fact, he even went back to the bank and was standing around talking to some of them there. You know, I said, "What's going on here?" And they were telling him because he was just someone in the city. A lot of folks knew him. And so after 3 or 4 days, he went and turned himself in. And he told the policeman, he said, "Now, I'm the one that robbed the bank." And the police there in the rectory, he said, "Now, come on." I called him by name, said, "Tell us another joke." He said, "We've had 150 people tell us they're the ones that robbed the bank." And he said, "No, I'm the man that robbed the bank." And they said, of course, they didn't believe him. He said, "Well, do you want me to take you to where the money's at, or do you want me to keep it?" He said, "Whatever you want to do, that's fine with me." They said, "Well, if you know where the money's at, it wouldn't hurt for you to show us where it's at." So he took them to the place and turned the money in. And, of course, they sent him to Pine Bluff. Had a nice little apartment for him here somewhere in the area. He'll have some 15 years to think about all that. But it was tragic in a way. It was humorous to have him tell it to me. But what was so touching was, they, when he turned himself in and they really found out he was the one, the police officer asked him, said, "Why?" He said, "You're known around town and people like you. Why did you take such action to rob a bank? That's a federal offense." And the young man said, "Well," he said, I was in Memphis not long ago and I got into trouble." And they think that he got into a gambling deal somehow and lost, and someone was pressuring him for the money, and he didn't have it. And the only way he knew to get it, I guess, was to rob a bank. And so he said, "I got into trouble, and I had nowhere to go, or to no one to tell my troubles to." And he said, "So I took matters into my own hands, and I tried to do what I felt was best." He said, "I didn't do it maliciously." And he said, "In fact, the gun wasn't even loaded." He said, "I was just needing the money." And to come to find out, his parents are well-to-do folks. They own their own business. And they had more than enough money to bail the fellow out of trouble. But the problem was, he told them, he said, "My folks no doubt could help me, but," he said, "there is no love in our home.
Oh, God.
And I couldn't talk to my father and tell him my problems." And in fact, his father, when they discovered it was his boy that was in trouble, and he was in jail, someone said, "Are you going to visit him?" And he said, "Well, we're going to go out to dinner first, my wife and I. And then if we have time, we'll go back and visit him if we have the time." They didn't even care for him, really, or the trouble that he was in. And so that's why. He got into trouble. And he didn't know what to do. And I've wondered how many times has the saint of God got into trouble, not robbing banks, but I mean just burdened down.
That's all right.
And they didn't have, or they felt like, or the devil oppressed them. And notice I said oppressed, not possessed. There is a difference between possession of the devil and oppression of the devil. To cause you to think, the scripture says, be renewed by the spirit of your mind. How many times has Satan oppressed the saint of God when he was burdened down with the cares of life to make him think he had no one that cared, or no one to tell his troubles to, or no one to talk with, or no place to worship? Hey, my friend, I tell you tonight, there's been a lot of people fell from this precious tree.
they didn't. But tonight, I'm glad to say, hallelujah, that you can turn to Jesus, who is the finisher of our faith. He's going to take care of you in the end. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad tonight to know we don't have to walk out of here with our troubles, but we can walk out of here saying, I found the joy that kept me from my troubles. Hallelujah. Praise God. Solomon, he prayed at the dedication of the temple, and he said, Lord, if anyone in this congregation, if any Israelite would ever be led away captive, and he was in a strange land, and he was hungry, naked, and burdened, and held captive, as Solomon stood on the balcony of that temple that day, he said, Lord, if they could just, in the midst of their troubles, if they could just look back toward the land that you give to the fathers, and toward the city, and toward this house, will you hear them? Will you deliver them? And the Lord said, yes, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves. Prayer is a humbling experience. And it may be the last straw, but if I was to my last straw tonight, before I would turn to alcohol or drugs or sin of any kind, I would stoop to the place of prayer. Because when you get to the place of prayer, the Lord says, I will hear, and I will deliver, and I will heal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is everybody excited out there saying? Tell me which looks the most ridiculous. A man staggering under the stupor of alcohol, trying to wash his problems away. Which looks the most stupid? The man that's strung out on drugs and doesn't have a grasp on reality. Or the man that's knelt in humble submission before his God, saying, God, I've tried everything, and everything has failed. But in prayer, hallelujah, the Lord's going to lift you up. If people are crazy enough to stoop to the effects of alcohol, and if they're lost enough to stoop to the effects of drugs and sin, you pardon me tonight. I'm not ashamed to find a place of prayer, for I know in that place the Lord is going to hear me, and He's going to deliver me. Hallelujah. 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 Solomon said, look back toward the land. Do you realize that the land that the Lord gave Israel was called the Promised Land?
That's right.
It was a promise made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. A land that would flow with milk and honey.
Right.
There's some giants there. There were some great walled cities. But he said, I'll drive your enemies out before you. And it's the land of promise. And if you're in trouble tonight, and you don't know what to do, I'm going to encourage you to look back toward the promises of God.
That's right.
What are the promises of God given in the Scripture? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Well, Lord, I've stooped down to the beggarly elements of sin. I've gone further than I thought I would ever go. I've gone beyond the point of no return, so it seems. But the Lord said, I don't care how far down you go or how far away you may run. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. The Lord is a present help tonight in the time of trouble. I feel Him in this place tonight. He wants somebody to know He cares. He wants somebody to know He cares. He wants somebody to know He cares. They brought that old woman that had been caught in the very act of adultery. They said, Lord, let's stone her. Yes, let's do away with her. Caught her in the act, the sinful act. But you see, the Lord had made a promise.
He said, I so love the world that I gave my only begotten Son. And I haven't entered the world to condemn the world. But I've come to seek and to save that is lost. And the Lord wrote down. The Bible said he knelt down in the sand. And a lot of people are concerned about what the Lord wrote in the sand. And they forget the beauty of the promise of God. And then he said, I come to love you, not condemn you. And according to the Levitical law, if a party was caught in the act of adultery, they was to bring both members that was caught in the act, the woman and the man, and bring them to the elders of Israel and let them be judged then. And when the Lord stooped, their various other laws also went along with this. But the Lord stood stupid and find these stones to cast at her. He wrote down, knelt down in the sand, and he began to write. Some have various speculations and various reasons and various theologies about what the Lord wrote. I think he just knelt down and wrote in the sand, where's the man? He didn't want to bring an accusation against this woman by herself. He wanted to know, how come you didn't fulfill the law? I haven't come to condemn it. I've come to save. Hallelujah. He didn't break any laws. He just told that woman that week she was in trouble. He was a help. And when her accusers turned and fled, he said, neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more. You can walk out of that service tonight with the Lord's promise saying, go and sin no more. I don't accuse you. I don't hold you against you. I don't bring it to before the judgment bar. There is help tonight in this service. Let's just give the Lord a great thing. Man, I feel you. I'm about to get my radiator overheated. I'm about to overheat my radiator for sure. I'll never forget one fella got to preaching. He took his coat off in the middle of a sermon right at the point I thought he was getting through. So I made a vow that when I preached, I'd take mine off before I preached. That way folks wouldn't know. Yeah. That time I got ready to quit. You know, if I had my coat already off, they'd already think I was there. But I want you to realize the promise of God said, I'll be with you to the end of the earth. Then the Lord said, look toward the city. The city. Look toward the city. The city was a sacred place. Zion, so it's referred to. Jerusalem. Amen. The city of David. Hallelujah. Mount Zion on the side of the north. Hallelujah. This sacred place. It seems for some reason that when folks get into trouble, they want to flee from the sacred places of God. That's not the time to flee. That's the time to run. The Bible says he, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. He that runneth into it is safe. Hey, friends, folks, I noticed that when folks start getting depressed or oppressed, they start getting drugged down. They just get to the place they don't pray like they used to or ought to. They get to where they don't sing in the choir anymore. They don't attend the prayer service before the regular service. And they start slipping away from the services. They don't show up as much as they used to. You go and talk to them, and almost 99% of them will say, well, brother, I've just been a little discouraged. I've been a little down. I've been a little troubled. And I just don't have that urge, I guess, to be in church and worship God like I used to. I've seen it when folks get in trouble for some reason, they start staying away from the church. They start separating themselves from the people of God. They stop listening to the preacher as he brings the word. Because they're depressed, they're down, they're troubled. But my friend, Solomon said, if you get in trouble, that's not the time to look the other way or to go the other way. He said, if you're in trouble, then find yourself looking back to the sacred places of God. Hey, if you're in trouble tonight, it's not the time to stop praying and stop participating and stop coming to church. Now's the time to get in here and worship and praise God. This is a sacred place. Then if you're down and out, this is the place to be. This isn't the place to be from. This is the place to be at. Because you need it more than those that are up. The Bible says that the Lord rejoices over one sinner that repents, over the 99 just persons that need no repentance. Hallelujah. And the house. Let me say something else about the city. David said, if I ever get in trouble, Lord, and I forget Jerusalem, that sacred place in you, God. He said, if I ever forget Jerusalem, he said, let my tongue tell you this and that.
Amen.
Uh-huh.
Right.
He said, Lord, if I ever get in trouble, if I ever sin, Lord, if I ever get away from you in any way, can I forget Jerusalem? And let me start talking like this. And he said, also, mark me by letting my right hand forget her coming. He said, I'd rather go around with the hand that wouldn't perform and a tongue that couldn't talk. I'd rather do that than forget Jerusalem.
My Lord. My Lord.
He said, Lord, when I'm in trouble, let me remember the church. And he said, if I don't remember the church, then he said, Lord, let something come against me. Let sickness befall me. Let my hand have no use. And my tongue, don't let it talk. Do something to me, God, that'll bring me back to my knees, to a sacred place in you, oh Lord. I cannot afford to forget Jerusalem. Oh, hallelujah. And the house. Solomon said, the house. The house. Let them look back toward the house. The house is a place of dedication. Solomon dedicated it to the Lord. And if you're in trouble tonight, could it be that you have forsaken the covenants that you made with God? A lot of times in the charisma of a service, the presence of God. We make vows to God. Lord, I'm going to do this. Lord, I'll do more. Lord, I'll witness more. Lord, I'll give more. Lord, I'll do more than I've ever done before. Because we're in the spirit of the service. But a lot of times, we're no further than a mile down the road from the church. And those vows we made to God, because we're in another atmosphere and in another spirit, those vows just vanish and drift away. We forget a lot of vows that we make to God. Everybody that agrees with me wags their head loud enough I can hear it rattle. Yeah, you know what I'm telling you, don't you? In the meantime, I promise God, oh God, I'll win more souls than anybody on the face of the earth. Oh God, I'll do more than I've ever done. 30 minutes later, I'm laughing and joking with the brethren and I forgot my commitment that I made to God. But God never forgets the commitments that we make to Him. We make a promise to God, we may forget it, but He don't forget it. A lot of times we forget our commitments and our promises to God, and then we wonder how come we're having trouble spiritually. Could it be that the Lord is trying to remind you of some things that you promised God you would do that you haven't performed yet? And maybe the Lord's allowed a little trouble to come your way to point you back to the place of dedication where you stood at this altar not too long ago. Or maybe it's been years ago for you that's been in the church a while. And you promised God some things and you haven't done those things. Maybe the Lord has allowed a little trouble to come in your life to get you to look back toward your dedications and your consecrations to God and remake those vows and those commitments and follow through with them. If you're in trouble, you can look back toward the land and the city and the house. I wish I had time, and I don't, but I just wish I had time.
to tell you about Jonah in chapter 2. The Bible says that Jonah just obeyed God, and it got him in trouble. You walk out of here tonight without obeying the command of God and the calling of God you feel coming on you right now. And, ooh, I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. Yeah. You disobey God and walk out of here, you'll find trouble out there somewhere. And if you don't, trouble will find you. Yeah. John said, no way, Lord, am I going to go to Nineveh? No, no way. Like Justin tells me, no way, Jose. Planted, got into trouble. He was swallowed by a big fish that the Lord prepared. Anyhow, the Bible says that he went down into the depths of the earth, and the bars of the earth compassed about it. And he said, even in the belly of hell went I. He said, but in the place of hell, in the belly of hell, he said, I don't know how he knew which direction was what in the belly of a whale. I mean, seaweed around him, setting in water. Thump, 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 the old heart of the whale beating above his head. You know, he'd lean up against the rib and that old whale would jump, but he was ticklish. He couldn't find a place to sit down. He was soggy, damp, just like the way I feel after I fished with Brother Rutledge all day. That guy can get more water in the boat than what's in the lake, seems like. That's right. I mean, Jonah was miserable, but he said, somehow, down in the wells, down in the bottom of the earth, he said, all the way to hell, he said, there was I. He said, but there, I look back toward the city. He said, I cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard me, and he delivered me. Oh, I don't care how far down you are tonight. You can cry unto the Lord, and the Lord will deliver you. My. Brother Sammy, I noticed something the other day. I noticed that a lot of God's greatest, mightiest men, we're not men in the spotlight, but they were men that were in dens and caves and the pit Joseph was thrown into. Daniel's lion's den and Paul's prison house. All God's great men were those men that come from those places. Oh, it wasn't the man that was up front, the Sadducees and the Pharisees, that could pray eloquent prayers. But they were men who knew God to get them out of trouble. Those were God's mightiest men. Daniel said, oh, I wasn't afraid in the den of lions, he said, because the Lord was with me. He helped me. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Oh, I feel the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. Little fellow I met at youth camp in Kentucky last year, I preached their youth camp. He was in an auto accident with his mother when he was at the age of 3 years old. And he suffered a severe concussion and a coma. Lay in a coma for months, 3 years old. And his mother wasn't in church much. She'd just gone and heard the preacher pray that God wouldn't, or heard the preacher say one morning that God would never fail you if you would trust in him. And she said she herself was crushed, but she went into this boy's room. When she first saw him, she didn't recognize him. She said his head was swelled twice the normal size. He was black and blue all over. This woman didn't know God in the power of the Holy Ghost. And the doctor came through and said, ma'am, there's no hope for your son. He responds to nothing. The machine is keeping him alive. There's just no hope. And if it would be advisable, we would encourage you to allow us to take away the life-giving supports and let this boy die. He's 3 years old. He's an innocent life. Why don't you let him die? She told that doctor, she said, no. She said, this is my boy, and I want him to live. And I'm going to believe God to heal him. She said, day after day, she's going, finally, in her prayers and faith and belief, he responded. They had to teach him how to eat again. They had to teach him how to set up again. And over a period of time, they had to teach him how to walk again. When I met him at Kentucky Youth Camp last year, he has braces on his legs, and he is severely deformed, but he is back in his right mind. He's very intelligent. Brother and Sister Aldridge may know who I'm talking about. The first night of that youth camp, those kids come running to the front like they do in those camps. And I stood at the pulpit and I watched that little boy so awkwardly make his way down to the front. And he didn't have the use of one hand. He had the use of the other one, but one just lay at his side. And I saw that little boy come to the front. He raised that one hand as far as he could get it, and he began to pray, and his legs, of course, are in the braces. Kind of slumped over, and he began to pray. They gather around and pray with him. As the end result, the little boy received the Holy Ghost. And when he received the Holy Ghost, that arm that had been lame, all of a sudden that hand went up. And that little boy, and you ask Brother Sister Aldridge if they know what I'm talking about, I'm describing up church. Them. That little boy that could barely walk began to shout. And them old braces were clanging together. And them hands was up. And he was shouting and speaking in tongues. Hallelujah. I don't know why I told that. It just come to me when I was driving down here. Because I reflect on those things every once in a while when I'm driving, meditating on the power of God. Because I thought, man, for a boy that had no hope, and the doctor said,